Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Tzad Gimel. We're at the very top of the Yomid where the Gemara asks a Shaila, Boy minei Rami Bar Choma mei Rav Chizda. Rami Bar Choma was an Eidim by Rav Chizda,
right? That's right, son-in-law, before he passed away, and Rava replaced him.
Okay, but that part we don't need for the Gemara. The point is, Rami Bar Choma was a son-in-law of Rav Chizda, and he asked a Shaila, either of his Shver or of his future Shver. What did he ask a Shaila? You remember yesterday we had a machloikis between what we said in the Mishnah and what we had on the bottom of Tzadik Beis, Omid Beis. Specifically, the Pasuk refers to the din that if a person had splattered on his beged any of the dam from a korban chatos, specifically the Pasuk says, Vasher yize midoma al habeged asher yize oleha techabes b'mokum kodesh. You have your beged has become soiled, splattered with blood from the korban chatos. The din is, you have to go into a kibbutz, the makom kodesh, meaning inside the azara. The Mishnah said, however, it's got to be blood which is ro'ui lihazah, means kosher blood which is fit and available for purposes of zrikas hadam. And from that we learn two halachas. Number one, if the dam happens to be posel, how did the dam become posel? It was lona, it was nitma'a. The carbon originally was, he had a machsheves of pigel, machshev of shaloi lishma, whatever it was. But the dam became posel, so it's no longer fit for going and spritzing on the mizbech, to Zeriko, in the case of the chatos, the four kronos at the top of the mizbech, it's no longer roi. It's not blood asher yizeh midama, and therefore it's not qualified for dam, it does not have the din requiring kibbutz begotim. Number two, we talked about the fact if you already had used this dam, and for instance, the dam was left over in the mizrak, or it was still wet on the karnis hamizbeach, or the shiraim on the aside, and the person became his, the begodim became soiled as a result. Also, no din of kibbutz begodim inside the azara. Why not? Because of the fact it's no longer asher yizeh. You're no longer going to be mazef with his dam, because his dam is already used, so to speak, and therefore no longer a din. Fine. Now, in the first halacha about dam, which is posel, we had a machloikis between our Mishnah and the Gemara. Not the Gemara Mamish, Rabbi Kiva, that was quoted from a braisa in the Gemara. What did we have in the Mishnah? In the Mishnah we said, if the dam is posel, it makes no difference if it had a shasa kosher. If it didn't have a shasa kosher, lamas, it's posel. So therefore, it's not going to be asher yizol. You're not going to use it for zrika, for azot. No, that being the case, it does not have a din, it's not machayiv kibbutz begodim. However, Rabbi Akiva made a distinction between when it had a shasa kosher or it didn't have a shasa kosher. What was the, it had a shasa kosher? So we mentioned briefly before, originally the dam, the carbon was geshochten perfectly, and the dam was collected perfectly inside the mizrak, and we were waiting for the zrika. It was a busy day, so the kohen said, let's leave it for a little bit later. And then unfortunately it got beyond the zman. Beyond the zman means the zman of zrika, which is the zman shkia, and it was lona. It fell asleep, so to speak. You can no longer use it for the zrika sadam, the sina sadam, and the four kranos. Vishenitmor, if it became tomei, or shiyotis, it went chutz, it went outside the base of Migdish. So all of these cases, it had a shas hakosher, but now it is no longer fit for using for the putting the dam on the kronis, on the mizbech. Aha. Okay, so what's the din? Said our Mishnah, posel is posel is posel. You don't have a kim of the asher yizeh oleh, no din of kibbutz begotten. The Akiva, on the final line of yesterday's Gemara, Tzadik Beis and Beis, our Gemara has the Girsa of Akiva, there's another Girsa of Yankiv. What does Rabbi Akiva say? Svirale di omahoisolei shasa koisha v'nifsala. If initially it had a shasa koisha and later became posel, like our cases, the Lona Nitma case, what's the din? Toin kibbutz, there is a din of kibbutz begotten after all. Now, all of that, of course, is talking about that before the dam splattered on the koyin's begodim, it was already tomei, or was already spoiled. How was already spoiled? Because it was already lona, or is nitma, like we had in the Mishnah. Now the Gemara talks about what happens if the blood only became spoiled at the time that it hit the beged. What do you mean by that? Is boy menei rami bar chom merav chiz, the top line, Nitis al beged tamei mahu. Oi, this dam was 100% good, ready, willing, and able, available for putting on the kronis on the mizbeach, and then some splattered. So normally it splatters on a beged. Clearly, there's a din of kibbutz mamakam kadosh. But guess what? That beged was tamei when it splattered on it. Oi, so what happened to the dam? At that moment, when it hit the beged, it became no longer ro'i lihaza'a. So maybe there is a din of kibbutz begodim, maybe not. I mean, logically, since while it was still in mid-air before it hit the beged, this was perfectly great blood, so then as soon as I hear that it's about to hit the beged, I say, oh, call up the launderers here in the Azara, we're going to have kibbutz begodim. And then I hear that the beged was tameh. Ui. So that means that at the final moment when it hit the beged, that dam became disqualified, became possible.
Does the dam in the Kli Shari becomes is like a current that goes back, or only the drop that hits the beged?
When we talk about the, for purpose of kibbutz begodim, when we're talking about the drop that hits the beged, the blood that's remaining in the mizrach, that is wonderful, beautiful blood, and we're going to use that for purposes of the carbon. And were any of that blood in the mizrach to go and now soil another beged, which is tahar, then clearly there would be a din of kibbutz begodim. We're talking about that specific beged that was tameh caused the blood that splattered on it to become come tameh as soon as it hit the beged. So that being the case, it's no longer royal hazor. Maybe there's no din of kibbutz begodim.
How the blood become tameh though? If it's hitting a kli, it's tameh. The kelim are
the kelim is not tamei. The kli shoris is fine.
No, I'm talking about the beged. The beged is tamei. The beged. How could the beged be metamei dam?
Why not?
Kelim are metamei ochlin and mashkin is dam.
Dam is a mashkin.
Okay, so yashach dam. Okay,
exactly. So nitis al beged tamei ma. What's the din? On the one side, you would say, what's the problem? And after all, the dam before it hit the beged was totally kosher, and so it should be a din of kibbutz begodim. You know, from Masechtas Gittin, there's a famous rule of Gittin v'yodei boin ke'echad. And Rashi says the same lashon here on the second line. Would you say that the psul dam antinas kibbutz lebeged boin ke'echad? That the psul dam, that the dam now became possible because it became tameh. And the requirement to go and do kibbutz b'mokum kodesh, those happen simultaneously. So, which one now is miskaber? Do you go and say, well, because it became tamei, there's no din of kibbutz? Or do you say, no, these are two separate halachas? Ein acharami, there's a din that the dam became possible, but there's also a din of kibbutz begodim, because a second before it hit it, there was a kechiv, so even though now it became dam possible, but the kibbutz begodim is still required. So that's the shayla of the Gemara, zok the Gemara. Since the Gemara is even asking the Shaila, Rami Bracham is posing the Shaila, one thing we see for sure, anytime that you have blood that originally had a shasa kosher and then became possible, ein doma to'in kibbutz. In other words, Rami Bracham is paskening like our Mishnah, not like Rabbi Kiva that we had down below. So therefore, if it had a shasa kosher at one point, but it became possible, even though it was kosher originally, but now it's possible, ein doma to'in kibbutz. Then there's no din of kibbutz begodim. Because if you learned like Rabbi Kiva, that even though, not even though, but that because of the fact that it had a shasa kosher, doma to'in kibbutz, clearly this blood had a shasa kosher. Before it met this beged, it was kushiv yusha, vana had a shasa kosher. And according to Rabbi Kiva, dam shahoyz lashasa kosher. Even though it became nifsla, even became nifsla before it hit the beged, it was possible. Nevertheless, tamid toin kibbutz. So in Bazai, what's the whole shayla? Musaf saying that the shayla is based on our Mishnah that even though it had a shasa kosher, if it became possible, ein tamid toin kibbutz. So now, what is the shayla of Rambam Bachama? Hani mila bezeachazeh. Would you say that this is only talking about zeachazeh, meaning that the dam was initially possible and then hit the beged subsequently? In such a case, since the dam was already possible, ein damaton kibbutz. Avol bebas achas loy. However, in this case where the dam only became possible bebas achas at the moment that it hit the beged, now it became shenish. Oy demoloishto. Maybe it makes no difference whether the dam was possible a second before or a second later. Bottom line is this blood is not fit for Zerika or for putting on top of the Mizbeach. That being the case, there's no din kibbutz. Azei freik the Gemara d'shay. Now, to get to the answer, says Gemara, Omalei, the answer will be based on a plukta der blaza v'rabbanon, which we're going to have momentarily, and it's going to be aliba der rabba, the way rabba initially explains it, or kumatar it's abai, in the way abai eventually is going to fix up the teretz of rabba. So that's, we're going to get to the teretz, but it's going to be a fairly lengthy teretz, because we're going to have to labor through a braisa machlekes or blaza v'rabbanon, a taish, the way Rabba is going to explain it. We're going to ask a bomba kasha, very major kasha on Rabba. Abai is going to have to go and somehow remedy the situation. And with that, we will know the answer to our shayla. How long is that going to take us? It's going to take us at least a half an hour, depending on how many questions, how much everybody participates. And it's going to go almost halfway down the wide lines of the Amid. So what is that machloikis that you're talking about, Reb Elazar Rabbanan? This Simon. Reb Elazar says something quite startling. Mechatas. We're leaving now Dam for a moment. We're going to get back to it in Mi'at Hashem. But in the meantime, we're talking about Mechatas. Right. Mechatas has nothing to do with the Korban Chatas. This is the Mayim of the Pora Aduma. It's called Mechatas because we took ash from the Pora Aduma. We mixed it with Mayim Chayim. And now we have a whole barrel full or whatever of Mechatas. Shinitmu. Unfortunately, it became Tomei. How did it become Tomei? The Gemara doesn't say, but it could be that it touched a nevela, it touched a dead sheret, whatever the situation was.
But that dam is supposed to purify everything.
Exactly right. So you would go and say, and I would go and say, well, yeah, it's Tomei, and let's get rid of it. No, says Reb Elazar, gewaldige chiddush. Even though the mechatis is Tomei, it's mitaharin. You can still use it for purposes of being mitahar Jews that require the mechatas because they're tamei tumas mess. Where does Reb Elazar take this from? After he's disagreeing with Bill, I mean, how could that be? I mean, lechayr it's tamei. How could it be metayah? Ishak Reb Elazar sharinida mazin oleha. What happens if you have a woman who became tamei tumas mess? She's a member of the chevra kedisha, or she was just at the levaya and it was inside a chapel, inside an oil, so she became Tamei Tumas Mes, and she's one of the many people that want to have now purification as a result of the Mechatas, and she became a Nida, which is not unusual. Women of that age become Nidas on a monthly basis. Okay, so now Rashi says we don't find anywhere that there's a requirement that we tell her first become Tahira from your Tumas Nida, in other words, count out all your days, make sure that Baruch Hashem the dam has stopped, and then you should toivel, and only after that we should go and spritz the mechatas. We didn't find any makarf, anything like that. So therefore, when a woman is going to come to the kohen and say, please administer the mechatas, we're not going to ask that question. We're going to go and spritz on her the mechatas. What's going to happen when the mechatas touches her skin? Guess what? That mechatas is going to become tamea. What tamea is it going to become? The tamea of Tumas Nida, because she's a Nida. Nevertheless, it works. Sharin nida mazin olel. So therefore, Reb Elazar says, so you see that even though mechatas ultimately has become tmeya when it touched the nida, but it still works to be metayer from the tumas mes. So even if it was tamei earlier on, even before it was spritzed on her, inside the bucket or inside whatever container the mechatas was, even though it became tamei then, it is metayer. Ah, so you see that this is similar in concept to the issue that we were talking about before, because we were talking about before, clearly, if you have the dam of a chatas, which is already nifsala, and then it goes and touches a beggar, then according to our Mishnah, ain't toin kibbutz. Question is, if it happens bebas achas, do you say that has the same din as before, or not? Reb Elazar is also doing, such an equating, because he's saying that just like we see that when the dam hits the mechatas touches the nida, it becomes tmeya, that mechatas that touched her. The 1, 2, 5 drops that touch her all become tamei tumas nida. But nevertheless, they amatire her from the din of tumas mes. So says Reb Elazar, even if it happened 10 seconds before or an hour before where the mechatas became tmeya, the same halach applies. It is mita heres. Now, it doesn't say clearly why we would equate the two. I mean, after all, she's a nida, that's fine. the mechatis has to be tahira. When it hits earth, then it becomes tameh. I don't really care, because when it hits earth, then
Baruch Hashem. It's job. We don't need it anymore.
Exactly. So to learn from that where the tumah happened previously is a little bit difficult. So how does that work? The Amar Rabba. I'll tell you how it works. Reb Lozer b'shitas Reb Akiva. This is the Rabba that we referenced here a moment ago. He says Reb Lozer holds like the shitas Reb Akiva, Rabbi Amra. Now, not the Rabbi, the Reb Akiva from the last line of Tzadik Beis Amid Beis. Totally different Reb Akiva. The Omar Havoris Kli Al Gabe Mokim Tomei Kimunach Tomei. When you take a Kli and you extend it over a Mokim Tomei, it's as if it landed in the Mokim Tomei. Rashi quotes the Lashon like you have in Masechtas Shabbos and Masechtas Erevin, Kluta Kamisha Hun Chadamia. Once it comes into the ear space, it's as if it's landing on the ground. So what do you mean? Nah. We have the following Mishnah. Where is this Mishnah? In Masechtas Par. Shteit in the Mishnah, Yo'imit Chutz Letaner. V'sheretz Betaner, V'hoishit Yodei Lachaloyim Enotel Es Halugin. V'aviri Alpi Atanur. Okay, so what's the situation over here? Let's assume that this table was a tanner, was a furnace, an oven, and let's assume that it was here against the wall. I wasn't sitting here, pushed the table, pushed the tanner against the wall. Now, in that wall, there's that window, like we have over here, and on the windowsill, we have lugin, which means we have containers that have in it mei chatas. And what did we want to do? Somebody wanted to take that water, the mechatas here from the window. He's sitting or standing on your side, gentlemen, and he's extending his hand over the tanner to get to the lugin, and now he's going to carry the lugin. Lugin is the container. He's going to carry it in his hand and bring it over to the other side of the tanner. The problem is the tanner had a sheretz b'tanner. The tanner had a sheretz, and therefore the tanner was tamei. Extended his hand to the window. Not the salugin. He took the lugin, that container of the mechatas. The viral pitaner, and now he carried it over the opening of the tanner. And Rashi tells us that the tanner that the Gemara is talking about is a tanner where the opening is to the top, not like our modern day ovens that we open it by pulling on the side, opening up like a drawer. No. It was totally sealed on the side. It was opened from the top. So if there's a sheretz inside, it's as if the Tumas Sheretz is emanating and going straight up. Rabbi Kiva metamei, b'chachomim metarim. Now, what would be the reason being metamei? Remember, if there was Chas V'Shalom a mess or a piece of mess inside, avada tumas oil goes without saying. So the Chiddush over Rabbi Kiva is talking about that even though there was no mess inside, there was a sheretz inside, or there was an avail inside. That's enough to make the taner tamei. And now, what I'm carrying over that ear space, the lugin. Not when I'm initially extending my hand, but when I get the lugin from the windowsill and I now carry it over the tanner, boom, it becomes tummy. You're wondering, why would it become tummy? It says, Yimara b'ha pligi, Rabbi Kiva sabar ki munach dami. Rabbi Kiva says, kaluta ki mishohun chadami, meaning that since it's in the ear space over the tanner, ear space doesn't have to mean the ear space within the tanner. Even the ear space over the tanner, we view it as if it collapsed from the ear space and it's now inside the tanner itself, so it becomes tamei from being inside the tanner. So that's as far as Rabbi Kiva. Rabbanan Sabri, lav kimunach tamei. I don't subscribe to that. Afgadav tumah tumas mess is something else, but here we're just talking about any tumah just because something goes over the tumah, you look upon it, kimunach tamei. Nah. Rabbanan disagree with that far. So now, what does that have to do with Rabbi Lozer? What has to do with Rabbi Lozer is that since Rabba is equating Rebbe Lozer, Kishitas Rebbe Kiva Rabbi Amra. So what did Rebbe Kiva just say? That when you have anything such as this Mechatas went over the Tanner, the water inside that Mechatas now becomes Tameh. Rebbe Kiva is Metameh, that water. So now, applying it not to the case of the Tanner, but now applying it to the case of the Nida, when you are doing Hazor of the mechatas onto the nida, even before it hits the nida, it's within the nida's ear space, if you will. It's not exactly the same because this is going over the tanner. Here it's going against or next to the nida. Maybe it's talking about that it hit her, for instance, ichweis, in her neck, and therefore
it passed the shoulders,
it passed the nose, it passed the whatever, the rest of her body. And the point is, so there was an airspace of the Nida, Lahavdul, like the airspace of the Tanner, and just like Rabbi Kiva holds. Okay, so when the case of the Mechatas, if you'd like to join us, you're welcome to. You can take a coffee, make yourself at home. You can even have a half a Danish, or you can have it, a donut, I should say. Or you can leave it for after davening, whatever you'd like. The davening should start in the shul, Mir Tashem, imminently. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara. So what Rabbi is saying is that Rabbi Lozer holds like Rabbi Kiva. So just like Rabbi Kiva says that once the Mechatas come within the ear space of something which is Tamei, it causes the Mechatas to become Tamei. That's what happened. Before the Mechatas touched the Nida, the Mechatas already became Tamei a millisecond before it touched the Nida, because it was in the airspace of the Nida. Oh, so then that's a very good raya that Reb Lozer is saying. Mechatas shenitmu metarin. How do I know? Shari Nida mazan aleha. And once you do azor on the Nida, that's going to cause the blood or the Mechatas to become Tamei already a second before it hits the Nida. So how can it go and do a good purification of the Nida? This Mechatas is already Tameya. Tamei, Tamei, Yikare. It's a great Tamei. So, Ibazoi, how does it do a good job in being Metar the Nida? It must be because Mechatas Shenitmo Metarin. Just like we see that case, Rabbi Kiva says that the Mechatas became Tameya by going over the Tanur. Here too, the Mechatas became Tmeya by getting close to the ear space of the Nida. And it works when that Mechatas touches the Nida, Mazaleh, it works. So you see the Mechatas that was Nitma is Metarin. Okay, very nice pshat, Rabba. Eisvei Abai. Abai said, Rabba, this is Gishmak, beautiful, but I got a big, big kasha on you. What's my big kasha? This Rabbi Kiva that we just said now, who is mechadish, this is gevaldige chiddush, that when you take a lugin, that is a container holding the mechatas, and taking it over the ear space of something which is tamei, causes the lugin to become tamei, as well as, of course, the contents become tamei. That's if you're talking about carrying mechatas in a kli. However, moider bekiva bahazoa shehavira al kli cheres tamei, al gavi mishkev moishev tamei, shita hoira. Ooh, in other words, let's take our case once again. Let's not talk about that the person extended his or her hand to go and take the lugin from the windowsill and now carried it over the tanner, which had in it the davar tamei. But rather, talk about the same situation, but instead of the person extending and carrying the lugin over the airspace, what happens if the kohen already has the lugin in hand? And the lugin was fine. It didn't go over the ear space. He took it out from somewhere else. It was tohar, the gami. And now he spritzes on a person who's on the other side of the tanner. That's where the windowsill is. Somebody is standing there. And the kohen now gives he sprinkles on that individual who's on the other side of the tanner. So the drops of the hazor, of the mechatas, traveled over the tanner to go and hit that individual. Not to hit him, but to go and
purify him.
Oh, zayikit. So what happens? So, it's the exact same thing, right? It went over the tanner, the ear space, it should become tamei. Rabbi Kiva said metamei a moment ago in the lugin. But the braisa says, moid Rabbi Kiva bazoh. If you're not talking about the
transportation of
the mechatas inside a kli, but you're talking about that actually he now spritzed it, and that's going over Shavira al kli cheres tamei, like our Tanur that we spoke about, or even al gabi mishkav u'moishiv tamei, mishkav u'moishiv from azov, etc. She tohida that azov is kosher, it's tohor. Why? She'ein lechadover shemetamei lemala kilamata. There's no such rule of the ear space el kazayis min ames. Because kazayis min ames, it's like an oil ames, like we said earlier, that of course becomes tamei. V'shar kolom ahilin, or other types of oils, not by MS, lesuyi evan amenugas, means that a evan amenugas means an evan that was inside the house of a mitzoyra, and we know that if you had the blemish, you had that nega on that evan, that also becomes tumah. Exactly. So that being the case, you have an oil of tumah. We normally think of an oil of tumah referring to mess. You can have an oil full of tumah referring to mitzoyra as well. So there you find this ear space concept, but not if you're talking about just being maver over a sheretz or a nevela or a tamadika klicheres or a mishkav a moishev of a zav and a zav, then you don't find it. Now the question is, what's the reason? Why is Rabbi Kiva saying in the case of when I take the lugan over, it becomes tamay. When I'm doing the hazah, it doesn't become tamay. It's moider Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva said, I'm moider in that case. So what's taka the svara? So the svara is, when Rabbah said, with all due respect to Rabbah, being both the Rebbe and the stepfather of Abaye, that Abaye had the ultimate respect for, he says, I disagree with Rabbah. And when we said before that Rekiv is metame, it's not for the reason that Rabbah gave. You know why it's metame? Because of the fact that it's going over the airspace and it's kimunach dami, kluta kimisha huncha dami. No. Everybody agrees in this case of Tumat v'tahara, unless you're talking about an oil of Masri, unless you're talking about an oil of Matzaira, lav kemunach tami. And that's why in the case of the Hazo'a, the water does not become impurified. It doesn't become tame. So why does it become tame in the case of the Lugin over the Tanner? As the person is carrying the Lugin from, he is standing on the other side of the tanner. He's taking the lugin from the windowsill. For all I know, the lugin may be very heavy and has it in 20 gallons. I don't know. Could also be that the oven is somewhat hot, and therefore he's extending his hand over this hot oven, and he gets kind of tired and weary. He might say, you know what? I don't have anywhere to put it, and it's so heavy, I'm going to put it down into the tanner itself. And I'm going to leave it there, and I'm going to take it out shortly. But in the meantime, I'll just keep it there for safekeeping. So even though he didn't ultimately put it into the tanner, but since it could have been that he would have put it into the tanner, the Chachom made a gzeira. As we know, when it comes to Pura Aduma water, the Chachom made lots and lots of gzeiras, all the Hoitzim Liban from the Tzedoikim that made, that they said, Zir Chumra, and we said, ah, Chavi, you don't know what you're talking about. Anyway, Zokti Yimor, Vachachachim, if you don't keep yourself a gzeira and Shemi Yenuach, maybe he's going to go and take that Lugin, in other words, that container full of the mechatas, and he might put it into the tanner. If he puts it into the tanner, for sure it's going to become tameh, because it's going to be within the klicheres, and it's going to become tameh. Mitoichai. Rabbanan Tzavri loy gazrin lecham, say no, we're not goyzer. So why is hazor any different? When you're talking about hazor, that he spritzed the water is not coming back, my friend. The water, once it went and it spritz, it's only going to go in the other direction. So you don't have to worry about, maybe he's going to take that water of the spritzing and he's going to put it into the tanner. It's not going to go anywhere in the tanner. I mean, a couple of drops might spill in the tanner if they didn't have enough force to go to the other side.
You can't scrape it up and reuse it.
But we're not going to use that anyway. We're only concerned about the water that went over the tanner and hit, or at least purified or attempted to purify, the other person on the other side. So therefore there's no svarit to go and say, I should be goyzer mishum shem yenuach. Ah, okay, so now that we understand this, come to chois, that by hazor there is no gzera, there is no din of ear space, it's only when it's encapsulated in the contents of a kli, then I have a gzera, but otherwise, hazor that goes over a davetame, nothing happens to it, hazor is perfect. Rabbi, as a result, the whole pshat in Rebbe Lozer now falls away. What was the original pshat that we said in Rebbe Lozer? Remember, what did Rebbe Lozer say? Three lines before the wide lines. Mechata shenitma'u metarin. Even though the mechata became tamei, I'm sorry, it is metarin. Why? Sherinida mazen olel. So until now, what was this for? What's the equation? Why am I equating mechatas that was tamei already from before to mechatas that becomes tamei now when it touches the nida? So Rabbi says it goes to Rebbe Kiva. The Rebbe Kiva says even before it touched the nida, as soon as it came into ear space, it was already tamei. Oh, so then the mechatas that touched her was already tamei from before. So that makes a lot of sense. That's why Rebbe Loza said mechatas shenitmu, it became tamei from before mitaren. Just like by the nida, the mechatas before it hit the nida, it was already tamei when in the ear space. That's what Rebbe Kiva said, right? It's klut kemisho and chadami. So that's mamish on all fours, if you will, with Rebbe Loza's halacha. The mechatas, even if it became tamei, it's mitaren. Just like in the case of the Nida, where the Mechatas, before it touched the Nida, became tame mid-air, and then it touched her, and it's matayr, because it doesn't say anywhere that the nida has to matayr herself and go to the mikveh before the din of the paraduma water. That was good originally, the way we learned pshat leit Rabba. But then Abaye asked a very strong kasha on Rabba, how can you say that? The only time Rabba said that halacha was when the mechatas was contained within a container, like a lugin that we spoke about. But here we're not talking about that, we're just talking about the hazor. Even if Akiva agrees in the hazor, it does not become tame prior to touching the nida or the person that wants to get the tahara. Because you see, he says, Befeish, it's only a case like a gzayis menemes, a shar kol mahim, like a even a manuga, meaning an oil of a metzayra. What was the svara then of Rabbi Kiva? Because maybe a gzayra shem yunach, but that doesn't apply shem yunach in a case of hazah. So therefore, if you have now a person who's doing hazah on a nida, then the water does not become tameya until it touches the nida. So then, I don't understand shatan Rabbi Lazar. How does Rabbi Lazar bring a ray? The meichatish and nitmu mitarin, because the nida mazan aleha. It's not true. The reason why the nida mazal is because when the water touched her, that water was still perfect. It was beautiful, mechatas, pure as could be. Yeah, at that moment it became tamei when it touches her. But prior to that, it was totally tar. So how can you derive from that araya the mechatas in nitmu when it's tummy already from before that it's betayer? Zokta chabaya, therefore I'm going to give you a brand new pshat. Zokti yamaram. So what tak is the machlokes? This teretz of Rabba has fallen away. Omer Abaye, I'll fix it up. The don in tuma keduma mi tuma sheba oisis shaa kamiflegi. Whether you can derive the halach of tuma keduma, where the tuma came prior to, from the case of tuma ba oisis shaa. What does the Gemara mean? Since we know that when the water of the mechatas touches the nida, that water is going to become tummy, for sure. Touch the nida, no question about it. Nevertheless, it effects a purification of the nida that she doesn't have to worry about the tumas mess anymore, no longer tumas mess. Even though at that moment when it touches the nida, it became tameya because it touched her skin and she is tameya. Ah, so now the question is, what about if the water was tummy a minute before or an hour before? Is that also mitayah? And that's the lashon of Abaye. We've done a tuma keduma, a tuma that touched this mechatas before, like a nevela, like a dead sheret, or whatever that caused that mechatas to become tamei. And now you want to use it to mitayah people. So it's a tuma keduma, meaning the tuma was already there earlier. Do you learn that from the case of the nida where the tuma was ba'is yishah? When did the water of the mechatas become tamei? Only at that moment when it touched the nida, but not before. Can you learn the tuma of before from the tuma that happens now at the moment when it touches the individual? Come in for you. Ma'ar sabadonin, Rav Lozer says, absolutely. Since it helps to go metayer this nida, even though a minute before it was all tatayra. But bottom line is, when it touched the nida, do you agree that the mechatas became tamei? Yes. Oh, so you see, mechatas and nitmu is metayer. Same thing is even if it was a minute before that it became tamei, or an hour, or a day. Makes no difference. Same thing. Umar Sover ain't done in. Says the Rabbana, no, I respectfully disagree. That it became tamei at that moment, that's like the Gita V'yodi po in Ke'echad, that the Psuldam and the Tzunas Kibus comes together at one time. So he said, that's the same thing over here. It came at one time, but when the water touched the nida, for that split second, it was still tahira and made her tahira. A split second later, it became tameya. But at the moment that it hit her, it was still mayim tahira, and therefore you can bring a raya to mechatish and nitmu mitar. So with this, we have now completed this fairly lengthy discussion where the Gemara, Rabbi Bachama, asked Rav Chisda a shayla, and the Gemara said, I have the answer to the shayla. It's a plukter blas v'rabanan, Aliba de Rabba, Udkiko Metaritz Abaye. Now the truth of the matter is, it points out Rashi, that Rabba was unfortunately nidche based on the kasha that Abaye asked on Rabba. Rabba wanted to give a teretz that's klut kemishon chazif, it's munach tami, but we said that only applies if it's in the Mizrak, not if it's bishas the hazor, because Rabbi Kiva himself was moider b'kiva b'azor. However, because we want to be respectful to Rabba, we don't want to say that Abaye rejected Rabba. and threw him out and said, what you said doesn't make sense. We were saying rather that Abaye was mitaken, he was masakin what Rabbah said originally. This is not what Rabbah really meant. Rabbah meant really something else, and therefore Abaye is, so to speak, trying to fix Rabbah's words. And that's why the Gemara is giving the respect to Rabbah and saying, it's a plutter blaz rabbanon. Alibe de Rabbah, udkal metaretz Abaye. So in truth, you can put Alibe de Rabbah in parentheses because we don't need Rabbah to understand the answer to the shayla of Rami Bar Chama. But what is the answer to Rami Bar Chama shayla? So what's the machlokes now between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan? Machlokes is whether you learn, whether you equate tuma keduma mi tuma but oisisha. Do you equate the two? Are they the same? Says Rabbi Elazar, yes, they are the same. Therefore, done. You can learn one from the other. And the other one, no, these are two separate things. This happened before. This happened later. Okay, so let's get back to our Mishnah, not to Mishnah, to the top line of today's Amud Aleph. Boy, many Rami Bar Chama Rav Chisda nitis al beget tamei mahu. What was the nitis? We're not talking about paraduma. We're talking about the dam of the chatos. The dam of the chatos was totally pure, givaldic, and everything was great. And a minute before, I was going to use it for purposes of putting on the mizbeach for the purpose of the zrika, the nesina stam on the four coronas of this carbon. Chatos, and unfortunately there was a mishap and some of it splattered on a beged and the beged was tameh. So clearly at the moment that the dam hit that beged, that dam became dam tameh. The question is, can I now derive from that, that that is the same as if the dam was already tameh from before? What did the Gemara say? Minikami boile shema mina, he certainly holds that if the dam was possible from before, Ein domato in kibbutz. Why not? Because it's tummy dicker blood. It's not ro'i for hazah. Yeah, but now it became tummy at the final moment when it touches the beged. Until it touched the beged, it was great. It touched the beged, and now it became tummy. Do we equate tuma kinuma mit tuma bi oisisha'a kamithliki? According to Reb Elazar, that we do equate the two, as we see from the case of the Mechatas, that he says, I know that it's nitmu, it's matar, because when it touches the needle, it's going to become tame. And so therefore, it's just as if it became tame before, makes no difference to a minute earlier, a minute later, but lamas, it became tame, and it works. Oh, so the same thing is by the nitzas al-begetame. Just like we said before, that if it's nifsal, the doma does not require ein doma toin kibbuz, we say now the same thing. That if nitzas al beged tamei, if at the moment of impact it touches the beged and then becomes tamei, we equate the two. Reb Elazar says it makes no difference if it became tamei a second before or it becomes tamei a second later. They're exactly the same donen. We equate the two on the same madrega. So according to Reb Elazar, how would he paskin? He would paskin that just like if it was possible from before, ein doma tamen kibbus, here too, when it becomes tummy at that final moment when the dam touches the beged, also ein doma toin kibbutz, no din of kibbutz. Same thing. However, the rabbanon that disagree and they say, no, how can you go and equate one with the other? Here was tummy before and here becomes tummy at the final moment. Same thing with Gabi the Nittis al beged tummy. They would also say that it does require kibbutz because when did I say there's no din of kibbutz if it was tummy from before? But here there was tar from before, and only came tummy at the final moment. You can't equate the two cases. Oh, so now we understand what the Gemara said. Omalei, Rav Chisda said to his item or to his future item, I have the answer for you to your shaila. Good gefreit. It's a machlekes ablaz rabbanan aliba de abaya. And he throw in Rabba because he also tried to fenfa, but ultimately it's really abaya's tart. So with this we've concluded that shtickle. Rava comes to disagree slightly with Abaya, with a new pshat in the machlokes between Reb Elazar and the Rabbana. What's Rava's pshat? Rava omar dekuli alma ein donin. You cannot equate tuma of a minute before or tuma that happens the gitzah biyada boin keecha that happens now. So what's machlokes? How can it be? Reb Elazar sober hazor tri chashir umitztarfen lahazor ois. Rabbanan Savri Azor Ein Tzri Chashir. What does that mean? We had the shayla already before with Hazor Tzri Chashir. We're talking about when the Hazor hits, touches the individual, how much has to go on the individual for he or she to become Tahar from the Tumah of Tumas Mes that the person had on him or on her until now. It's a machlokes whether there's a shear of azah or there's no shear. No shear would mean even at the smallest little drop, a 20th of an ounce spills, falls on the person did a spritz, and the mamish a gunish. But if that gunish touches, the person is taught. If you hold azah tzrich a shear, it's got to be a larger shear. Agamar doesn't tell us what that shear would be, whether it's a half an ounce and a half, but there is a shear according to the Yavim al Yama. Ah, okay, so therefore, Reb Loza Sover Hazor Tzrich Hashir. Hazor does require a shear. Umitztarf in Lahazois. So what happens over here? The Hazor requires a shear. When I went and did my first Hazor on this Isha Nida, then that first drop became Tmeya. Oye, oye, how am I going to be Matire the Isha Vishis Tmeya? No problem. Go and do a second Hazor. That second Hazor, we already took here the first Hazor. Now that second Hazor will be mitztaref with the first Hazor, and now we'll have a full shiur, and that full shiur will consist of both the Tamei Dika blood, because she happens to not blood, the Tamei Dika Gesundheit, Meichatas, that hit her. Gesundheit, that's the truth, exactly. So Hazor Tzrich Hashir, that the first drop that fell, even though that what became tummy as it fell on her, makes no difference, because we did quickly a second hazor, and the two hazois work together in tandem, mitzdarf and lazois, and as part of this hazor, now I am combining the tummy dikka poras chatas, mei chatas that fell on her the first time, together with the second hazor that spilled on her, and as a combination, she's going to be taught. Rabban and Sabri, hazor ain't tzrich hashir. No. The Hazor does not require a shear. When you put on that first drop, doesn't require anything more than that. I don't have to mitzaref to a second shear. So, how does that answer? What is the svaris of this? Let's take a quick look at the Rashi. The Kuli Alma Ein Donin. Rashi is about halfway down the wide lines down below. This is Rava speaking. The Kuli Alma Ein Donin. We do not equate one with the other. V'Reb Loza Tuma Keduma Mituma Keduma Yalef. Reb Loza is not learning Tuma from the Oysa Shah to a case of Keduma, but he's learning Keduma to Keduma. What do you mean Keduma to Keduma? The blows of Sabah Hazor to be Hashir. Umitztarf al Hazois. V'chinof la Hazor kamaisa Allah. When the first drop of the first Hazor came on her, Akati lav Hazor hi letara. This Hazor was not sufficient to matai her because that drop became Tomei as it touched her. The Avagav Shinitmis Hazor Harishoina, Kishinogaba, even though that drop, when it touched her, that drop of Mechatas became Tmeya, Choyzeris Umistarefis Im Hashnia Lahashlam Hashir. Since a second later there's going to be another drop that's going to come on her, the two together are going to be Mashlim, and they're going to make her Tahoira. How does that work? Am Mechatas Shinitmu Lifne Hazor Mitaharin. The Mechatas that became Tomei before the Hazor. Why is it before the Hazor? Because the Hazor Rishoina, that first drop that fell on her, that was Mechatas that became Tomei before the second drop that's going to be Matire her. Wow. Ah, that being the case, it's a Tumma Keduma. It's not a Keduma of a day ago, or of an hour ago, of even a minute ago. It's a split second, because he went and did Hazor. The Hazor, maybe two or three drops from the first Hazor, or maybe he did one Hazor with one drop, and then he did another Hazor with the second drop. What's going to be Matayer? The combination of the two drops, because he holds the Yesh L'Shir, and you need the two together, and they're both Mitzdarif. So when I'm now causing for her to become Tahoira, we're using both the initial waters that became Tmeya already a millisecond ago, as soon as it touched her, and using that as part of the shear together with the next drop that comes on her. So that first drop is a Tumah Kedumah, because that's not going to be Matayer, it's not enough. I need the two drops together to be Matayer. Mm-hmm. So before the effectiveness of this Hazor, one of the two drops was already Tumeya. That's okay, it doesn't bother me. So you see, Tumah Kedumah works to be Matayer. That's what Reb Loza says. Mechatash and Nitmu Matayer, because Shari Nidam Azin Aleh. By the Nida, if there are going to be two drops, that first drop is already going to be Tamei. By the fact that it touched her, she's not going to become Tahira until the next drop goes on her. Mm-hmm. So that first drop of Mechatas was Nitma. Nevertheless, it's Matayr. So Chablozo, that's why, even if it became Tame an hour ago or a day ago, it's also Matayr, because here it becomes Tame. That's one thing. So that's according to Chablozo. Rabbanan Sabri, Einazor Trichisha. You don't need to combine one with the other. Says Rashmi Azor, Kamaisis Talkas Lazor. The first Hazor was already enough. Oh, so there's no Tumah Keduma, it's only the Tumah Bebas Achas situation. So therefore, I disagree with Rabbanan said that Mechatish and Nitmu Matayrim. Of course, by the need of Mazan Aleh, yeah, that's because it's a Basachas. But if it was Keduma, it was finished. Says Reb Lozer, every single time you have a Tuma Keduma situation by this need, because every time you're going to go on Spritz on her, two drops, you're going to be Mitzar of the two drops together, and that first drop is already Tumeya. How does it work to be Matayr? So Simon, the Tuma Keduma is Matayr by the Mei Chattas. Question.
When the second drop hits her, it also becomes Tamei.
Correct.
But not to much nida.
Absolutely. Even 50 drops.
Right. So what have we done? We don't have tahar mechatas water hitting this nida to mitire her. All of it becomes Tamei to
her. Absolutely. 100% correct.
So is that the proof for Reb Lozer?
No, Reb Lozer brings the raya not from the second and the fifth drop and the 50th drop. He brings the raya from the first drop. Because we're trying to bring a raya for Tuma Keduma. Because since he requires two drops to go mimatayah her, so after the first drop hit her, she's still tumeya. Tumeya means
until she reaches a shear of hazah, her tumas mei still is imposed on her.
Exactly.
So it doesn't lift until the final drop of the shear of hazah hits her.
Exactly.
But all of that's going to become tumay tumas nida as it hits her.
Absolutely. Okay. But we're trying to bring a raya, the meichat shenitmu already kvar our mitarin. That old Mechatas was already Tamei from before on Matayr. According to what you're saying, the final drop that's happening now,
as you finish the shear.
Exactly. So therefore, Sigmara, I don't want to bring a right from that. I want to bring a right from the first drop that I spritzed on this lady, because that first drop became Tamei even before the Hazo was effective. It's a Chasimna Mechatas Shenitmu Rei Tamei. That first drop became Tomei, right? It's clearly Tomei, touched
right,
the needle.
Right.
But it's Mitzarev to the second, to the third drop to go Mitzarev. It's a Harai, the Mechata, Shenitmu, or Mitzarev. Shenitmu, Mazanula. Says the Rabban, what are you talking about? You only need that first drop, the first drop, and that's a Basachas, it's not a Duma Keduma.
Everything else is just extra, it's not needed.
Exactly. And maybe the Taka didn't do any more after that, according to Rabban. Rabban said, if you're Shiganuk, you did one drop, I saw the drop, we have a picture of it, done. Next online. Let's continue on. So therefore, says the Gemara, says Rova, that's another interpretation of the Machloikis between Reb Lezer and the Rabban. Yishok the Gemara, Bach Ba'akim Yivgir Beleza, so Bazo Tzricha Shia, Umin Starfin, Lazois, and Rabban Savi Hazo, Eina Tzricha Shior. Okay, and we go on now by Techatas Psulom. Now what does it say in the Mishnah? We already quoted this in part, that if the Chatas is ready, possible. What's the din? And then the blood is not going to go, according to our Mishnah, is not going to require kibbutz. Why? Because it's no longer asher yizalem, because the chatzis, meaning that the dam of chatzis is possible, the dam is possible, chatzis is possible, when he gave the various cases on our Mishnah, the lona, mitabigo, mitabigo. Okay. How do we know all this? Tan Rabban, Shtichadu Abraisa. It says in the Braisa, midoma. What does it say, midoma? That's this pasuk that we're talking about throughout the daf. From the dam, midama, says the Gemara, midam ksheira, v'loy midam psula. The midama, because the mem tells us, not all of the dam of a chatos will have this din that is going to be will require kibus, the makom kadosh. Only some of the dam is going to require that. Which dam? Dam ksheira, v'loy dam psula. That's why. Not all the dam of mechatas, only a select group of the dam of a kosher mechatas, and not of a pasul mechatas. But that's what it says in our Mishnah, and that's why it makes no difference, says our Mishnah, Yosha Sakosha, Nisha Sakosha. Bottom line is, it's not dam ksheira, it doesn't require kibbutz. But Rabbi Akiva disagrees. That was a Rabbi Akiva we had on the bottom of Tzadik Bezim at Bezim, and here too, there's another gears, not Rabbi Akiva, but Rabbi Yankiv. So what Rabbi Akiva Omer? So we see that Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Then Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Echad Zevi Echad Zeh, Ein Dome Toin Kibbutz. It makes no difference whether you're Shasa Koisha or Nishasa Koisha. Now, Lechoy Rabbi Shimon is saying exactly the same as the Tanakama. The Tanakhama also doesn't distinguish between your Shasa Kosher and the Shasa Kosher. He only distinguishes between, is the Dam Kosher now? Yes. Toin Kibbutz. Is the Dam Pasul now? No Kibbutz. So what's the difference? So Rashi says that in fact, we don't have three Mandi Amrim, but rather the first part of the Braisa is a bold headline, and Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shimon are arguing and explaining that headline. So we start the Braisa again. It says in the Pasuk, Midama, Midam Ksheirav L'Midam Psula. Only Dam Kosher requires a din of Kibbutz, but not Dam Psula. Now, how do you define Dam Psula? Says Rabbi Kiva, I'll tell you. Not all Dam and Psulim are created equally. Some Dam Psula does require Kibbutz, some Dam Psula does not require Kibbutz. What is the difference? If it had a Shasa Kosher, originally it was kosher blood, even though now it becomes Nifsula, Toin Kibbutz. If it never had a Shasa Kosher from the very first moment, like B'Shasa Shchita, they had a Machshava of Shloi V'Shma, or of Pigal, or anything similar to that, so then it never had a Shasa Kosher, then Ein Dama Toin Kibbutz. Where does Rabbi Kiva take this from? The Gemara will address that momentarily. Rabbi Shimon Aymer Echadze B'Echadze Ein Dama Toin Kibbutz. Rabbi Shimon explains the headline of this Braisa, where he says, only Dam Kshera, and not Dam Sula. He says, it makes a difference. Your Shasa Kosher, your Shasa Kosher. If it's possible, Ein Dama Toin Kibbutz, period. No further discussion. So Gemara, now we want to know the svaris of each one, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Kiva. My time with Rabbi Shimon. Ksiv, it says, Oysa, Uksiv Midama. Each one of these are considered to be mi'utim. Where does it say the word oisa? Not in the same pasuk, but in two psukim later, it says, kol zochar b'kahanim yoichal oisa. We're talking about the karm chatas. And it says, yoichal oisa, eat it. And of course they're eating it. What are they eating? They're eating, they're munching on donuts, or on pizza, or on sushi. Of course we're talking about the karm chatas. What do you need the oisa? So oisa comes to tell you, oisa yeah, but other things nisht. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Uksim Midama, the drasha that we had before, not all the dam, only some of the dam. So I have two miyutim. It had original shasa kosher, says the Gemara, says the pasuk oisa. No, it's got to be totally kosher. Not those psulim where there was a shasa kosher. It's got to be kosher now. Now it's got to be kosher. And then the other comes to tell you that even if it never had a shasa, not even, if it had no shasa kosher, it was always pasul midama. And in fact, the yud here of the Shinui Nuskois adds the other shoe, so to speak. Chad lehechadoi to Shasa Kosher. You see in Yud and the Shinui Nuskois in the middle, Chad lehechadoi to Shasa Kosher. You use these two together. It's original from Shitim Kibetzis, and they extracted it to put into the Shinui Nuskois. Okay, so therefore, two psukim. One is Oisa, one is Midama, one is to exclude Oisa Shasa Kosher, one is to exclude the Nevad Shasa Kosher. What about Rabbi Kiva? Rabbi Kiva, Oisa, Prat Letruma. The Oisa, he doesn't dash to go and say, Pratli, Oisa Shasa Kosher, not Shasa Kosher. He says that has to do with Truma. What do you mean it has to do with Truma? That if you had a situation where the Chatzis Psula, they're not talking about Chatzis anymore, oh, look at Rashi right before the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom, five lines from the Oisa, Pratli Truma, Vamariku Shtiva Koi, can bring the Kamam Bepirkin Mitch, and we're going to have that in another 3 days in Daf Tzadik Vav, where we're going to learn about the din of Mariku Shtifa. Mariku Shtifa means those kalim that are having it bliois, then the Torah requires them to be moirak v'shuta v'moim. You have to go and scour them, and you have to cleanse them very, very thoroughly. What is that pasuk going on? What is the oisa? Come to tell you that only is a halacha that applies to kachim. It doesn't apply to truma. What do you do differently?
We're going to have to see. You don't have no servitude truma.
Okay, but if I'm a zor and I want to eat something in this pot, so I still have that same blias in it. You don't require murder for shuta. What do you have to do? You do have to go and do some sort of kashering. I'm going to discuss this in another few days. So therefore, the oisa is not extra to go and tell you, shasa kosher la shasa kosher. They only have one drasha midama. So midama comes to exclude that it was always possible from the outset. No din of kibbutz. But if it had a din of kashrus, it was shasa kosher, then you do have to have kibbutz after all. Reb Shimon letamei. Reb Shimon disagrees with Reb Kiva. Reb Shimon lechitos neim kachem kalim. Ain't on a mariko shtifa. In other words, this pasuk of Reb Shimon moim is only talking about a chatas and kachi kudishim like a chatas. In fact, the pasuk continues on. Kol zech v'kahanim yoichal oisa kodesh kadoshim. By kodesh kadoshim avad the kachi kudishim. This is din of mariko shtifa. By kachem kalim, no din of mariko shtifa. Koshkin Truma. Truma is, of course, on a lesser madrega than Kachim. It doesn't go on the Mizbeach. It's not a carbon. It's a Truma. It's like a Koshkin. But it's not Kachim. So Avad Nemanah, there's no dinner maker Shtifas. I don't need the Oysa for that because Rav Shimon Lishitasei holds that I have now two separate Mudim Oysa. Met me dama, one to exclude your Shasa Koshkin, one to exclude no Shasa Koshkin. Next Mishnah. Zot Mishnah. Nitzes men a tzavar ala beged. Now we're not talking about the tzavar of the chattis oif. We're talking about a chattis behema, and the chattis behema, where is the blood supposed to go into? Supposed to go into the mizrik. What happens if it didn't go into the mizrik? Is it roi fahazor on the mizbeach? No, it has to be the skarum. You have to have that kabbalah sadam. Okay, what happens nitzes men a tzavar ala beged while the koyin is collecting the dam inside the mizrak? Or another coin walking by a bystander, or whatever. Guess what happened? Some of that spurting blood spurt not only into the mizrak, but onto somebody's baguette. So the Mishnah, Einoi Toin Kibbus. Why is it Einoi Toin Kibbus? Because this is Dam Psulim. It's possible of blood. You cannot use this for Hazor, because it never went into the mizrak. So it's not Asher Yizol. Well, Einoi Toin Kibbus. No din of Kibbus in Makom Kaddish. Menakenu Min Yisoyt. Ain't a toin kibbus. If the coin, as he's coming down from the mizbech, or another coin that's walking next to the mizbech, he touches the keren where there is blood from that carbon chatos, which was already placed on the keren, or there's blood on the yisoid that was used for shirayim, and a coin went next to it, and some of that blood got splattered or touched his beg, and becomes now stained. No din of kibbutz for makam kadosh. Why not? Because it's not asher yiza futuristic blood that
it's
I'm going to
use.
It's already been used.
Right.
So although the halacha is the same in halacha aleph and halacha beis of our mishnah, but they're for totally different reasons. The mitzvah menatzaver is because initially this blood is disqualified for hazah, while the minaker minyasoi, the reason is because it was already used for hazah. So in both cases, it's not going to be asher yiza that we're going to use it for future zrikas sadam. When I was nishbach al ritzba, blood came from the tzavar onto the ritzba, vasofai, and you collected it, ain't toin kibbutz. Again, it's not roi for purposes. This nishbach al ritzba, straight from the tzavar, not from a mizrak, straight from the tzavar. This blood is disqualified, ain't toin kibbutz, it doesn't require kibbutz. What's the reason why, zok the Mishnah? Ain't toin kibbutz, l'dam shiskal v'kli. It has to be shiskal v'kli. The Gemara is going to ask in a moment, why are we repeating ourselves?
Yes.
We already said nishbach al ritzba, fall on the floor, or ain't toin kibbutz. Why not? Because it wasn't the scalp of a kli. And oh, by the way, ain't toin kibbutz, the damage is the scalp of a kli. I already said it. Why am I repeating myself? So Gemara is going to ask that kasha. And the Gemara is also going to ask, what's Veroy Hazar? That's also Dover Barsha. When
it's
you say.
It's like a Zach Klal type thing at the end.
Okay, so make sure we're going to talk about both of them. Zokti Mara Toner Rabbanon. Yochel Nitzes Menatav Alabeg Yei Toin Kibbutz. I would think there's a din of kibbutz. This is fresh blood. Came out of the Tzavar of Naimah. You should have to have kibbutz. Tamaloimar Asher Yiza. Leimar Dilachal Veroy Hazar. Since this never came into a kli, into a mizrak, it wasn't real hazor. No din of kibbutz begodim b'mokam kodesh. Tan yidach, yochel nitzes men keren umen ha'yisoid yei toin kibbutz. That's the second halacha of the Mishnah. We think it's toin kibbutz. This was blood that was perfect, was used for the mizbeach, for the zrika, for the hazor, for the nesina sadam. Givaldik, I would think it's toin kibbutz. Tamaloy ma'ashi'iza, which means future, pratlezeshi kvar husa. Fine. Next halacha, nishbach al ritzba, falls on the floor, no din of kibbutz begun makom kodesh. Frekimar sulamali, why do I have to say this again? Nishbach al ritzba, and the really kasha the asulamali is going on the second part when it says in the Mishnah right after that, ain toin kibbutz adam shiskav v'kli. I already said nishbach al ritzba, ain toin kibbutz. What's the reason why? Because it wasn't dam shiskav v'kli. So why am I repeating it a second time? So this lomeli of the Gemara, hasulomeli, like Rashi said at the top, sulomeli namisli ain't toin kibbutz al shiskav v'kli. Hatanali, I already said nishbach al ritzba wasn't in a kli. Why am I repeating myself? And for the Gemara, it's not a repetition, it's matam ka'amar, it's giving an explanation. Matam nishbach al ritzba asof ain't toin kibbutz. You know why? Lefisha ain't toin kibbutz al dam shiskav v'kli v'roi lazor. Since this was not nishkav v'kli, it fell on the ritzba. Ain't toin kibbutz. It's not repeating the halacha twice. It's explaining the halacha. Roi lazor. Now, what does this roi lazor come to tell you? Like you said, it's like a zeh haklal. What is this extra roi lazor? Lemutei mai. Lemutei kibu pochus michtei hazoya bekli zeh. Pochus michtei hazoya bekli zeh. We have to have a certain amount of hazor. Now, the hazor we're talking about over here, remember, we're not talking about hazor of mechatas. Here, we're talking about the dam that you put on the mizbech. So really the word hazor in the pasuk is a bissel shver, and says ashiyiz, it's not really hazor per se, it's really talking about that you're doing the sinus hadam on the four kronis. So the Torah refers to that as yizah. Okay, fine. So Dr. Yomar, what happens if you, when you makabul the blood, what is the amount of blood that you need to put on the four kronis? Let's assume it's 4 ounces, 1 ounce per keren. That's the, again, that's an assumption, 4 ounces. Okay, what happens if he divided up the blood, 2 ounces in one kli, and 2 ounces in the other kli? And the rest of the blood he lets spill out, or whatever, there's no more blood, just these two koises, 2 ounces each. So I would think, I have a good idea. Take now the two bloods, mix them together, and I'm going to have four. Right? If I pour the two into the other kli that has two, 2 plus 2 is 4, it's not good. That it's no good. This blood is not fit for going and doing a nesinas dam on the kronis of the mizbeach.
Are we talking about dam, or are we talking
I'm sorry. I thank you very much. No shkoyach. I appreciate you bringing this to my attention.
Yeah.
Reb Chalavta Bar Shul, in fact, is not talking about dam. He's talking about the case of the mechatos, the poraduma drops. And once again, he holds like the mandiyoma that you have to have a shiur of kedayza. Remember, you had a machleisher plus a rabbanim. Good. So what I'm skidish pochel mechtei hazoi beklizeh. He originally put in a drop of paras chatas, of mechatas in one kli, and a drop of mechatas in a second kli, and now I need a full shear. I'm going to go and merge the two, and I'm going to use it for the hazoya. It just doesn't work, because at the time that you put it into the kli, right, it says in the pasuk you have to take the ash, and then you have to put it into a kli. It's got to be a full shear at that time. Chutzi shir, no good. Even if I mix it later together, the time of the Kabbalah. Okay, that's the case of the Mechatzis, as Barry pointed out, Yishakoyach. Now the question of the Gemara is, according to the other gears, the Boyelahu. So once we have that as our premise for the din of the Paraduma water, what's the din now with the Dam Chatzis? We ask, Dam Ma'u, what's the halacha? There too, do you have to make sure the 4 ounces for the four kronis are all in the same kli initially, or is it good if I have two here and two there and I mix them together? What's the shailam? Now, hilchasihi, this din of having the full shear of hazoya by the paraduma in one kli and not in two separate kelim, is this halacha l'moshe m'sinai?
As
if that's the case, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, you can't learn from halacha l'moshe m'sinai because that's a special gzeiris akosav, it's not even kosav, it's a gzeiris
oral Torah.
Kurdish about that, and Boyne Shalom said that this is the way it's got to be done by Mechatzis, so it's a special din of Mechatzis, I can't learn from there. What does it say there in the Pasuk? If you look at number one, etc., etc. Now, Rashi says, it says in the Pasuk, it doesn't say, this, of course, is one of the worst headaches of even when the best Bali Kriya, bimayim, if the audience is schmoozing, then they don't have a problem. But if you have Erlechim that are listening to the Kriya very carefully, they'll scream it, and not bimayim, it's bamayim. Okay, what's the difference between bimayim and bamayim? Bimayim means in water, bamayim means in the water, like a hey hayidia, the water. What does that mean, in the water? It's always referring to a water that is referred to earlier, if you will, and it's saying that water. So what is the significance? The significance is, since it says ba'mayim and not bimayim, that means to tell you that you cannot go and combine the two mayims later on. The tovu ba'mayim, when he koyin, who is administering the paraduma water by putting in the ezoiv and shnei telas, the ezoiv, inside that water to go and give a spritz, it's got to be ba'mayim. What means ba'mayim? The mayim that was already there from before, meaning that it was already a collection of sufficient water to be matire the person or the kalim that you are spritzing the water on. So don't make new mayim now by taking two half shears and mixing them together. It's got to be in my mind that there was a full shear mayim already earlier. Ah, so hachanamik by uns, it also says, but tovel badam, doesn't say bidam, it says badam. What's that? That's number two, right? The Torah of the Kohen says, boy, badam, visa min adam, shibapam of Hashem. Oh, badam also has that same sense, that it's got to be dam mitchilosoi, not now that I mix 2 ounces plus 2 ounces, but I have all four answers together from in Bab Initio from the very beginning. From the time. Okay, so therefore, that's the Shiloh of the Gemara now. So the Gemara said, Lamute Mai. What does it come to Mamai? The case of the Kibbutz Pach Mechdei Azor, Bechlizeh. Or Pach Mechdei Azor, Bechlizeh. That if you only had 2 ounces in one and 2 ounces in the other, those two we do not merge together and say that they are kosher, not kosher. Well, you just said that's a shayla. We didn't pass in the shayla yet. We're saying maybe azoy, maybe ya. Toshema, Gim Reb Zikar Mabluza. The psak halach is abadam loikidish, just like Reb Chalafta Bar Shol said in that brisa that by the mechatas the two are not mitzdarif loikidish. The same halach applies badam also loikidish. Why? Because it's not halach l'mosh misinai. Because over here it says ba'amai, here it says ba'adam, it's got to be from the very outset, it has to be the whole shear together. Oh, so therefore that, when it was only chutzi shear, it wasn't a kosher shear. That's what it means in the Mishnah, roi lazor, from the beginning it has to be niskabel and kli echad, otherwise it's not roi lazor.
Excuse me, we had earlier in Masechta, es dam and tefillah.
We're going to have that right now.
Because it talks about shirim of dam.
100%. Al sami yitzvah. Look, thank you for reminding us. Omer Rava, Tanya, we learned in the Braisa, and we learned earlier in the Sechta. In fact, if you look, there's a base over here, and the base takes it in the Masechta Shas. It says, don't you remember, Shom Le'el and Daf Memo Mit Beis, we already discussed it. 100%. Good. Anyway, so look, Tanya, what did we learn? Tanya, we learned in the Braisa. The Toval Ba'adam, Darsh Ligmora, three drushes now. The Toval, V'loy Mesapek. What means Mesapek? Mesapek means that you go and rub off the blood from the side of a kli with your finger or with a knife or whatever, you scrape it off, you rub it off. No good. When the kohen is taking blood for purposes, now this is Toval, is it talking about the mechatas or is it talking about the blood? It's talking about one of the days. Okay, no, don't be like this. The word Toval applies in both cases. However, you see from the bays here, the Gemara, that it's going.
Look at Rashi.
Zokter Rashi, Badomai, Hilchasum, Hilchasum, Batov, Bamayim, Hakanami, Hoksi, Vitoval, Visapik, Vikaneach, Vishuli, Akli, Oibin, Fanaxim. Okay, so this is talking about the Gabi, the Dam, and specifically the Dam that is being used for the Hazois Hadam by the Chatas Pnimius, that you're doing Hazoi 7 in front of the Pareiches and then onto the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Okay, so that blood that you're taking now, the Toval, it has to be the Toval HaKoinis, the Toval Badam, the Hizim and Adam, Sheva Pomel of Nei Hashem, is Pnei Pareiches HaKoinis, by the Chatois HaPnimi. The Arshim of the Toval means you have to immerse your finger in the Dam, not kratz it off the side of the Kali, there has to be liquid there on the bottom of the Kali that you can put your finger in.
Surrounding your finger.
Good. Shake right to the posse vadom, achidei vadom, shir tvila meikorai. It has to have a shir tvila meikorai. That's the halacha that we're learning right now, that it's not that you combine the two shiurim subsequently, 2 ounces plus 2 ounces, it has to be there all in the first mizrak from the very beginning. And then it says in the posse, min hadom shibinyan. It's got to be from the dom in the inyan. What does that mean, min hadom beinyan? We'll see in the Gemara in another few lines, the Gemara will explain what that means. Okay, so the Gemara asks, do I really need the Vadom and the Toval? Remember, from the Toval, I learned the din, Veloi Mesapeg, and Vadom, that has to be a sheer dam there from the outset. The halachas, the two halachas sound like they overlap or they're similar. The Gemara Yitzchak Lamech the Vadom, because of the Toval alone, have him in Avu be the lekish sheer Tvila Meikorai. Even if you didn't have a sheer mikra, as long as you have liquid dam, that you didn't have to be mesapik, you didn't have to crush it, you didn't have to scrape it, exactly, you didn't have to rub it off, as long as there is a dam, liquid dam, even though you have to combine two separate koises, because in one dam, in one koise you don't have enough, I'll be like a sheer tvil mikra. So I would have thought, no, there's got to be a full sheer at the very inception, at the time of Kabbalah Saddam, full sheer of your four ounces. Because Rahman Badam have a minafil mesapik. Okay, there are 4 ounces in there, but some of that blood is no longer flowing. Some of it is already congealed, and I have to go and scrape it off the side. Okay, but I can still get together 4 ounces through my scrapings. So have a minafil mesapik. Because Rahman Bitaval. Fine. Now, we get to that third drasha. Min Adam Shebeinyin. We said we're going to explain what that means for Mutamai. What does that come to tell us? Amarava Lemuti Shirayim Shebeetzpa. Oh, that means that the Kohen has to put his finger into the dam and do 7 hazo'ois. So does he have to do 7 separate tvilos and get new dam each time, or he did hazor number one with his finger against the pareiches, and guess what? There's still some dam left. No, so maybe he can still use them. Maybe there's enough for
this. Skip a tevila and just snap it again.
Exactly, because the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur has to do five tevilas. That's tevilas aguf, but it doesn't say about the tevilas adam, the etzba inside the blood. Right. So maybe he doesn't have to do seven tevilas. He only has to do seven azois. That's what the pasuk comes and say. You know, min adam shebe inyan, similar to the dam that was before. Just like the first dam, you had to go and put your finger into the dam. Second time, you have to put it into the third time. Each time, you have to go and get brand new dam for purposes of your hazan. Misayel, Rabluza, the Yom Rabluza, Shiraim, Shem Etzba, Psulim, no good for that. So he says, we brand new dam, we toil with seven times. Omli Rabban Barav Adler Rav, Omar Talmidcha, Omar of Amram, your Talmud said the name of Amram, or maybe the Talmud is of Amram. Tanina, we learned in the Braisa, Oyemazer, Vinitza Hazoa Miyodei. He's in the middle of the Hazois here in front of the Parachis, and one of the Hazois slipped from his hand, so to speak, and it spritzed on to something else. Actually, he's a, in other words, onto Big Day Kahuna worn by another coin.
Presumably, there's another coin there.
That's on Yom Kippur. Right. What happens if it's one of the Hazoi during the year, right? A Parakoin Mashiach, Parakoin Mashiach Tzibur. So he's accompanied by another coin, and some of that Hazoi spritzed onto the Big Day Kahuna of somebody else. Actually, he's before the Hazoi Toin Kibbutz, because that's Asher Yizah. Mishahuza, however, once he already spritzed, ain't Toin Kibbutz, because it's no longer
Asher Yizah.
Good. So now, these words are not crystal clear. What do they exactly mean? That actually Hiza and Mishahiza, Maila Hachikama, actually Gomar Milahazois Toin Kibbutz. In other words, that there's still some blood on his finger. That's the Shirayim on his finger. Actually, Gomel Hazis, he didn't finish the Hazor because he only did one Hazor. And he looks on his finger and there's still Hazor left. And some of that Hazor spritz now on somebody else's baguette, toin kibbutz. That's what the Brais L'Chor means, that it requires kibbutz. So I see that even though it's on the finger, Shirayim Shebe Etzba, it's still kosher blood for purposes of Hazor. And therefore, that would be a big kasha on Reb Luzer, that Reb Luzer said a moment ago, Shirayim Shebe Etzba Psulim. Because I see, he says, "Legom malahazis." They still have blood on the finger. Toin kibbutz. It's only shigom malahazis, and nothing left on the finger. Which we're done with all the blood. They ain't toin kibbutz. Isn't that a shtark kashin or blosser? So tomorrow, loy hachi kamer pshat in the brayzer. Sorry, actually, yotza hazor miyodai toin kibbutz. Before the hazor even left his finger to go spritz, and at that point, some of it splattered on somebody else, on somebody's beggar, or on his own beggar, then toin kibbutz, because I didn't use it yet, it's still asher yizah. Mishiyotza azor miyodei, once azor already left his finger towards the paroiches, you're no longer going to be mazah that blood anymore, because I've already been mazah it. Ain toin kibbutz, it does not require kibbutz. So we're not talking about shirayim on the etzva at all. We're talking about blood that is going to be used still for azois, of blood that is no longer going to be used for hazois. But we're not talking about blood on the etzba. When he's finished with all the hazor, and he still has blood on his finger, what he should do is, he should wipe it now onto the parah. Why should he wipe it in the parah? So Rashi says, because it says in the pasuk that es oira v'es psora v'es doma al pirsho yisraif, that when you're burning the carbon of the chatois apnimiyos, you have to go and make sure that everything, the or the boss of the dam, al pirshus Yisraf, the whole thing. Okay, so now this gomul hazois that Abai is asking from is no longer the chatois apnimiyos, but rather it's talking about the para aduma.
Yeah.
But we're not talking about para aduma water that you're being maze on somebody that is tummy. We're talking about at the initial stage. Right after you went and shechted the paraduma,
that was also in the derech of the Beis Hamikdash.
So you go and shecht the carbon on the Har Mishkan, and now a kohen takes some of that blood and does hazois, as you said, towards the Beis Hamikdash. It doesn't reach the Beis Hamikdash unless there's some sort of miracle, because he's on the Har Zeisim. Sorry,
it would be amazing.
Mamish amazing. So it says in Gemara, Gomel Hazos, once he's finished with those hazois, he takes whatever blood remaining on his hand, and he shmeirs on the guf shapara because of the pasuk that we said a moment ago.
Because all the everything has to be burned, including the leftover blood from that parah.
Oyrav yes, psarav yes, dama bishiyosav, and that dam includes the dam which is on his fingers, on his hat. So I learned from that gomar in only if he finished it off totally. By lama galay, but if he didn't finish it totally, then you do not mekaneach yode biguf shapara. So ibazoi. So what's the status then of that blood which is on his fingers?
Finger, which already he's done hazah. It's twilight. It's not royal hazah.
So Amalei, so he told Abai the pshat is gomar mekneach yode biguf shalpara. If he is finished with all of it, and then any blood on his hands shmeir all on the guf shalpara. Legomar, however, if he did not finish, he's still in the middle of the seven hazois, and he has shirayim blood on his finger. Since that shirayim blood is psulim, it's no good. Mekaneach etzboi, that individual finger, he should go and be mekaneach, but not on gufa shulpara, because dam is psulim anyway.
Right.
So what are we going to do it? It's bishlay megomar mekaneach yudav gufa shulpara shenemazor zeparvli einav, and as we quoted, it's oyrves psarves dam elitz boy the might mekaneach. You're telling me that you're mekaneach, but you don't put on gufa shulpara. What do you do?
Right.
I'm rabbi b'svas mizrak. You take the mizrak of the dam and you go and take your finger and you rub it against the top of that mizrak, against the edge, and that's how you get the dam off. Like it said in the pasuk kapoy rizov, this pasuk kapoy rizov is not in the chumash. It's a pasuk in Ezra, but it's referring to mizrakim. Why is the mizrak called kapoy rizov? Because not from a lotion of kapara that it's mechaper, but rather from a lotion of kinuach that it's mekaneach, that he cleanses his finger by rubbing it against the edge of that kapara zog. And in that sense, every kapara is also a kinuach. What is a kinuach? It's a kinuach of the neshama. The neshama has a blemish on it because the person did some sort of chait. When he gets his kapara, that kapara means that it's atonement that cleanses his soul. That's a lotion of kinuach. Here too, he's being mekaneach his finger against his fasa mizrak. Now you're wondering, why should he do it against his fasa mizrak? Why don't you go and do it against the gufa parah, just like all the remaining? So Rashi says, for very simple, if you will, clean purposes, sanitary purposes. Look at Rashi mekaneach, mem mekaneach. Before you get to the Mishnah, 5-6 lines before, since you can't use the shirayim, what are you going to do with that blood? Mem mekaneach. If you're going to go and wipe it against the gufa para, the para of course has hair. And guess what's going to happen? By putting the dam on, dam is it's very adhesive, almost like glue. Then some of the hair is going to stick to his fingers.
It'll
be a chatzisa. He won't be able to do a proper hazah. So therefore he goes against the kli sharis. Now his finger is clear, he can be tovel, and he can do a new hazah. When he's finished with everything, then he's going to go do it all against
his yado.
The whole yado, in other words, any blood that may have spilled it at any point on his hands, that he's going to go and do against the
bay. So his, when he's machaneach his finger, is he doing it on the outside of the kli or the inside? Because it goes on the inside.
Outside.
Because the inside kli, it would be.
Then it's going to go and fall in. Exactly. You have a problem. It's going to be bad blood there. We don't want
the absolute. We want
between the blood and the azor. Zok the Mishnah. A very simple Mishnah. Nitez alu or. We spoke about that. Ashiz ala beged. What's the definition of beged? That's what our Mishnah addresses. Nitez alu or. It fell on or splattered onto the or of a behemoth that was geshachten. Actually, hufshet. They didn't have a chance yet to go mimafshet, to go and strip it or to flay it. It's a fancy English word, to flay it, to strip it, to hide it. And you don't give us no din of kibbutz, why it's not a beged yet? It's still the aura in the back of the animal. Mishovshem, when it's taken off, then toim kibbutz, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the truth be told, most people don't use the aura as soon as it's tovshat. It has to be processed. It's tzarich malacha. However, Rabbi Yehuda holds, all you have to have is enough of a machshava. What means a machshava? Because after all, you could use this aura instead of making from it leather shoes or leather pocketbook, you could theoretically take the or and use it for a tablecloth. Put it on the table, it's nice and complete. Of course, you'd wash it and make it clean and all the rest, but lamaisa, you can leave it the way it is. So if you had a machshava to use this or in its present form, misha ufshat, without processing it, then it has the status of a full-fledged
beged,
and therefore, toin kibbutz. No. Even after the Hefshit, and Rashi says that according to Reb Lozer, the Machshav is not enough. There has to be a Maisa. You have to do a Gemar Malach, and that Gemar Malach is you have to cut it, even if you're using it for a tablespoon. You're not going to use it the way it is. You have to go and snip it here and cut it there and then wash it and this and that. So it's still not considered to be
a
full
it's a Gomel Kli, it's not a Kli yet.
Good. So Ein Toin Kibbutz, period. Now the Beis adds again the same words. Ein Toin Kibbutz, Ella Mikoim Hadam, V'Dovashu Roy LeKabel Tumah, V'Roy LeKibbutz. When do you have to do kibbutz? Mokim dam. In other words, you have a big tekahuna, the gansim il, a gansik soinus, whatever, and only there's a small splatter of dam on the top, on the bottom. You don't have to go and be mechabes the whole thing, mokim kodesh. Just get out that stain of mokim kodesh, and you're the spot, and you're done. V'dovishu roi lekabotum, something that is roi lekabotum. What does that mean? That is, says Rashi, this is like Rabbi Yehuda's halacha.
Yes.
That Rabbi Yehuda says
yes,
it has to be a teretz kli, and not mishulufshed is not roy it's yet bekabotum. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us this to tell you that we paskel like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Losa. And it's also got to be roy lekibus. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Bigmar Mafarish, Mitch, and we'll learn tomorrow what the roy lekibus comes to exclude. In terms of everything is royal kibbutz. No, something's yours, something's mish. Miyachim tuar. Mishnah continues. Echad abegim miyachad asak miyachad oret unim kibbutz. If you have a fertig sackcloth, we don't look upon sackcloth as being a beged, but if it's a finished product that's used
as Torah's kli,
exactly. And the same thing, the or if it's a finished product, unim kibbutz. Va'kibbutz b'mokum kodesh, like we said, but it's not only the din of kibbutz b'mokum kodesh in the azara. Ushviras kli cheres b'mokum kodesh, because the next pasuk after we talk about the sheyizoleh, then it talks about in the pasuk that the kol kli cheres yishover, and then by kli nechoishes amari peshuta b'moyim. So they bring the breaking of the kli cheres all mokum in the azar itself. The special mokum where they broke it. Doesn't say that they left the shirayim there, the shvarim, right, but they broke in the mokum kodesh. And the mreikah shtifa is also b'kli nechoishes where the mokum kodesh, not outside somewhere on. So the Azorah was a multi-purpose Azorah. It's not only for going and shechting the kavanas and where the Mizbeach was, the people did the Zrika, and where people were standing, etc. But you had to have a select place where you had the laundromat for the Kibbutz Begodim, and you had to have a place where you broke the Kli Cheres, and you had to have a place where you did the Merikah Shifa B'chlin Choshes, and then there are other requirements as well. For instance, if you had a Nozer, there has to be a place for the Dud inside the Azara to go and burn the hair underneath the dud, also in the Azara. And of course, you had to have a place for people to sit and not sit when they ate.
Yeah, the picnic tables.
Yeah, or whatever, and they had to eat also in the Azara. Zerachoyim b'chatzim yikotchi kudushim. This din that we talked about of kibbutz begodim only applies to chatzis. And Brother Shai, I think, asked this yesterday.
Yes, yes.
It's only chatzis and not any other kotchi kudushim. Look at the last Rashi, Zechoymer, Kibbutz Kli. We're not talking about the Merikah Shtifa now, we're not talking about the Shvitas Kli Cheres, we're talking about the Kibbutz, Chatos, B'makom Kodesh, other Kachi Kudishim, this doesn't apply. Miachim to continue tomorrow, invite to the Gemara, have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.